Welcome to Beyond the Divide, where we cut through the noise to uncover the truth that we're all just people and we're in this together. Today, we're going to tackle something that has been keeping me up at night for a while now. Childhood disease and illness, cancers, autism, birth defects, and autoimmune diseases are exploding, and they're shadowing more families than ever. And what started as whispers have grown into roars that there are connections to everyday choices like vaccines and that trusty old bottle of Tylenol in your medicine cabinet. Is it a coincidence? Is there a correlation? Is there something that our modern lives are unwittingly fueling? We're not here to scare you. But I want to arm you with the data, the debates, and the questions that demand answers. So buckle up. If you're a parent, a caregiver, or just someone who cares about the next generation, this one's for you. I want to start with the cold, hard facts. Back in the 70s and 80s, childhood cancer was rare. About 14 cases per 100,000 kids under 20. Fast forward to today, we're looking at nearly 19 cases, which is a 33% jump. Some even say a 40% jump since 1975. Leukemia spiked in the early 80s from 3.3 to 4.6 cases per 100,000 by 1985, and that's just cancer. Autism in the 70s and 80s, it was 1 in 2,000 kids. Today, the CDC pegs it as 1 in 36 by age 8. Birth defects and developmental disorders, ADHD, those are climbing too. Part of a broader wave of chronic childhood illnesses that's got the White House's Make America Healthy report calling it a crisis that's driven by food, environment, and more. We're talking 15,000 new pediatric cancer cases a year in the U.S. alone. And autism affects over 1 in 30 kids. So why now? Some people say we have better diagnostics. MRIs are catching brain tumors that used to hide. But experts agree that there is a real uptick. It's not just smoke and mirrors. Now, I am a very practical person. I'm a very holistic person. And I believe that the number of diagnoses of autism and ADHD especially are wildly out of control, and I blame that on the greed of Big Pharma. Let's pause for a second. If you are listening with a little one nearby, this is going to hit different because it's no longer abstract. We're talking playgrounds quieter than they should be, too frequent visits to the ER, families that are stretched thin. So what is fueling the fire? What is it that's causing this in our modern age with all of the technology that we have and the advances in medicine that we have? Why do we have more and more sick kids? And why are the treatments for our sick kids so vastly outdated? Some cancers, childhood cancers, haven't had treatments updated in over 40 years. Let's enter the elephant in the room. Vaccines. This is such a hot topic. I remember in the early 90s when a new vaccine schedule was put out. And we had to get a bunch of shots that we had never had before. And these were like required to be able to go to school. So they set up these vaccine clinics at the high schools, and we went and we had to stand in line like forever because everybody was there. Everyone in town had to get the same shots or we couldn't go back to school on Monday. So we're standing in this enormously long line, waiting till it's our turn at the front. When we got to the front, we were seated at a desk, and there's about four or five nurses that just gathered around you, and they all had a needle, and they all stuck at exactly the same time. So for decades now, There have been fingers pointed to shots as a culprit for rising childhood disease. MMR for autism, thermosol preservatives for neurological issues, and links to cancers and birth defects. In 1998, Wakefield published a study that kind of lit the fuse on this. He claimed that MMR caused intestinal issues, which then led to autistic behavior. The article was eventually retracted for fraud, and Wakefield lost his license. But the echo lingers on, and the overwhelming feeling of distrust in a government that funds studies that are claiming there's no harm done is growing larger by the day. Just this morning, I saw an interview that was done in the UK. It was with an American doctor, but he had moved to the UK out of fear. And he had taken every single child. He was a pediatrician. So he's taken every single child from a given year that visited his practice. And he followed them throughout their 18-year pediatric medical phase. And he tracked the number of illnesses and diseases that hit those that were vaccinated versus those that weren't, and the prevalence in, you know, the two groups. The difference was staggering. And he has all these charts and all these percentages, and he published his findings in a medical journal. And the day after the article hit, he gets a call first thing in the morning from his lawyer, and he says, "You can't go to work. Do not see any patients. Do not write any prescriptions. Your medical license has been revoked." Overnight, they shut him down. Now, I agree with the fundamental principle of vaccination. There are many diseases, from polio to measles, that have been eradicated through smart, responsible vaccination. What I don't agree with is the massive amount of shots in such a short time period. Immunized by two. And at this point in 2025, there are over 95 vaccines that are given to our kids by age two. I also don't agree with the fact that vaccines are created using aborted fetal cells, or that they are fundamentally changing the structure of our own cells through mRNA. And now, as of this week, we have the sleeper hit, acetaminophen, Tylenol, the go-to for decades for aches and pains. Over 50% of moms use Tylenol. The FDA says it's mostly safe. Untreated fevers or pain can harm your baby more. But think about the preterm risks. Just this week, Mount Sinai research has linked prenatal exposure to higher autism and ADHD odds. And a Harvard study backs that up, with kids exposed in utero being 20 to 30% higher in neurodevelopment issues, birth defects, and neurological defects. Why is this? It's not causation, but it's correlation with confounders like, why did mom need it? Did she have an infection? What was the purpose behind taking the Tylenol? And is that the culprit? A Yale study by Dr. Liu says that biases also explain a lot. Moms with symptoms tend to take more medication. The Make America Healthy Again team suggests the evidence of a link, and to avoid it if possible. Other government entities counter that there are no good alternatives. Ibuprofen is riskier. The FDA has decided to update labels for awareness, but they're not outright banning, which is just shocking to me. When I think about how about 5 years ago, there was an ingredient in Zantac, which, in my humble opinion, is the only thing that works for heartburn. But there was an ingredient that was linked to an increase in cancer risk if you kept your medication in it was exposed to extreme heat. Then this chemical could, this ingredient could potentially increase your risk of cancers. And overnight, they pulled Zantac from the shelves. You couldn't find it anywhere. You could buy like $100 bottle of it on eBay, but that was it. But here we have the suggestion of a link for birth defects for our children, our babies, and they're just like, oh, we don't care. We'll put a warning label on the pill bottle, but that's all we're going to do. The bottom line is use it sparingly. Make sure you talk to your doctor. But also realize that in a world of rising diagnoses, is safe enough truly enough? Let's zoom in to your cells. Okay, acetaminophen has a dark side. It tanks your glutathione levels. Okay, your GSH levels are tanked. Now, your GSH is your body's master antioxidant. It mops up the free radicals, it fights inflammation, and it powers detox on a cellular level. One dose of Tylenol depletes it beyond its ability to do what it's supposed to do. If you're a chronic user, you're going to have like oxidative stress city. Studies showing that acetaminophen overdose causes liver failure because of this GSH crash. But even if you're just taking it regularly, your inflammation spikes. And we all know, or we should know, that every single illness and disease in the body is linked to inflammation. So much so that ultimately every single one of us could have a death certificate that reads that you died of inflammation. It is that serious and it's that real. Inflammation destroys already fragile cells that can no longer detox properly. And this isn't all just because of Tylenol. All of the poisons that they put in our food and our air and our clothes, they put it in our laundry soap, our shampoo, our conditioner, all of this. It all leads back to inflammation. Ancient Chinese and Indian medicine knew how to combat inflammation with herbs. And they knew that inflammation was the number one target that they had to get rid of in the body. Today, big medicine combats the disease that is caused by the inflammation with medicine that then causes more inflammation. It's a vicious cycle. In pregnancy, acetaminophen crosses the placental barrier. The placenta is designed to filter out incoming things from the mother's body. You know, food, drink, medicines, vitamins, nutrients, minerals. It's all filtered by the placenta before it's passed on to the fetus. But there are certain things that the placenta cannot filter. And so they it's what's called crossing the placental barrier. They cross through unfiltered. So they hit your baby full impact, full dose. This causes GSH levels in your fetus to dip. Their cells inflame, their detox falters, and toxins build immediately. There's heavy metals, there's pollutants, you name it. All of this stuff in your baby. And this results in more autoimmune flares. Low GSH ties to rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and rising kid autoimmunities. We didn't have autoimmune diseases in children in the 80s. Not like we do now. Our kids weren't getting Crohn's disease and POTS and cancer and having liver and kidney failure like they are now. In 2020, there was a review done that GSH deficits fuel metabolic syndrome. They fuel heart disease. They fuel chronic illnesses. And exposure to acetaminophen in early life modifies genes that worsen respiratory and neurological outcomes. So let's tie it back here. Okay, inflammation from poor detox. We are priming the pump for autism wiring glitches in our babies. Cancer mutations, birth defects. Okay, we all know that cancer is a mutation of the cell, right? It's basic biology. And most of these cellular mutations are now being tied back to the prenatal and mitochondrial stage. So in the very beginning, when the cells first start to divide, they're being hit by these genetic mutation, and they're carrying the mutation that will turn into cancer and autoimmune disease later in life. Compound that with regularly taking Tylenol while pregnant, and we're crippling our babies before they're even born. America has an autoimmune epidemic. One in five women are diagnosed with autoimmune diseases. I have four sisters and five sister-in-laws counting me. That means that two of us have the potential to have an autoimmune disease. It's huge. Autoimmune diseases are caused by toxin overload in an already GSH-starved world. And again, it's not just Tylenol. It's the combination with vaccinations, processed foods, you name it. Everything they put out there. But there is hope. We can boost GSH levels with supplements and certain types of vegetables. We can restore the balance. We can reclaim our health. But really, we shouldn't have to do this. We should be able to trust the products that we buy at the grocery store. We should be able to trust that bowl of cereal that we pour our kids before they go to school. Our bodies are magnificent pieces of science. Every single part of your body works together to maintain a very delicate balance. But if we throw off that balance on a cellular level, the basic, like, ground floor level, then the rest of the body cannot work properly. There's a new TikTok trend, challenge, whatever you want to call it, came out. And the idea is that there are women out there who are downing an entire bottle of Tylenol to prove that there is no risk. One regular dose will tank your body's GSH levels to the point of overloading your liver with toxins that your cells are unable to take care of. Please, please, I beg you, do not overdose on Tylenol. There are women all across the country who are fighting for their lives and that of their unborn babies in the ICU because their livers are failing them. Because they decided that they were going to take an entire bottle of Tylenol. This is serious, you guys. Do not put your health and the health of your unborn baby at risk because you don't particularly like the messenger. This isn't about blame. It's about empowerment. We need to demand better research. We need to live cleaner lives, which is easier said than done. We need doctors who will listen. Parents, journal your exposures, advocate for your kids. And science, please keep probing, keep digging, and stop burying the truth. The Bible has multiple areas that discuss the fact that God put every single plant and animal here on the earth for our use, for food, for health. Adam and Eve walked in the most magnificent garden while God taught them everything they would need to know about every plant and animal, how and when to use them, what they were for, how to blend them together to achieve results. Ancient medicine trusted in herbs. Today, big medicine and big pharma are pushing the use of synthetics and chemicals. Trust in your faith. Trust in the gifts of this world that God gave us from the very beginning. I know that I cannot be the only one that is seeing the reels on Facebook with interviews of doctors and scientists with studies that are being performed in Europe that have cancer cures and autoimmune reversals. We aren't even able to try these in the United States if we're even aware that they exist. We should not have to go to another country to be able to try alternative forms of treatment. The United States has higher rates of illness and disease than anywhere else in the world. We live in a vicious health cycle. The poisonous ingredients in our foods, from dyes to synthetic sugars, are amping up our bodies for disease. And they all work together. The FDA, the CDC, big pharma, big food, big medicine, it's like a pyramid scheme. They all work together. Other countries in the world cannot even import our foods without heavy warning labels because the stuff that's been approved to put in our foods that the FDA has approved, these poisonous ingredients, they've banned in other countries. The Make America Healthy movement has begun to expose what the FDA has done to us. They are in league with big pharma, big medicine, and big food. And I know that many of you out there don't like the messenger. But that's when you do your own research. We didn't even have genetically modified foods until the 80s, and that's when the big problems started increasing. We should always be doing our own research and seeking our own personal revelation. We are not called to blindly follow those who claim to know the science. We do not have to trust in what they say one way or another. We have the power literally at our fingertips to do the research. And it's not easy to do. You have to be very committed because a lot of these things have been buried so deep, they're almost impossible to find. But the resources are there if you commit to finding them. And I know that changing your lifestyle, changing the way you and your family eat, it's not easy and it's not cheap. I know that some mornings are insane and it's so much easier to reach for that bag of cereal with the bright, fun colors. I know that the fight with your kids to eat their vegetables is sometimes too long and too hard to want to deal with after a long day. And I am well aware that better food choices do not look as appetizing. But if you start to take the small steps toward change and you have the faith that through God you'll be given the strength to maintain your health and the health of your families, then He will make it so. It's not easy in this world of convenience and fast food, but small and simple steps will lead to big changes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we have faith, we will be strengthened. Now, we all know the story of the tortoise and the hare. One day, the very arrogant hare challenges the tortoise to a race. The hare knows that the tortoise is slow and it will be easy for him to win. And as the race begins, the hare takes off and almost immediately is so far ahead that there's no possible way that the tortoise can win. So then the hare gets tired. His initial burst of energy has worn him out, so he decides he's going to lay down and he's going to take a nap. But the hare has underestimated his opponent, and while he's napping, the tortoise overtakes him and goes on to win the race. Slow but steady progress will always triumph. Tap into the powers of discernment and the powers of personal revelation that you were blessed with. God has the answers. And if we have faith, then we can have the answers. Have faith that you can take care of your families. Have faith that you can keep them healthy. We have the power of healing. We have the power of herbs and ancient medicine, holistic cures that don't rely on synthetic chemicals. Have the faith that you can tap into that and God will make it so. And please, please, please do not overdose on Tylenol. It's not worth it. It's not worth your life. It's not worth the life of your unborn baby. Do your own research. All things in moderation. Get your cells back on track to be able to do the detox so that your liver and your other organs aren't suffering. You will feel so much better. It will lift your brain fog. It will lift your fatigue. You'll be able to breathe better. Your skin will glow. You will feel the way that you are supposed to feel. Reduce that inflammation in your body. Do everything that you can to get away from medications that cause further inflammation, because that just exacerbates the problems. Above all, pray for discernment and knowledge and tap into that faith. We can do this, guys. Thank you so much for joining me.